football on Off the Ball.
You're right to say that I can even go so far as to say I'm an anorak, I'm a geek, I adore football. It's very rare that I can get enough of it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Now, I'm delighted to say that Ireland back row Aoife Wafer is with us on the line, fresh from that big win over Australia last weekend. Aoife, how are you getting on?
Yeah, not too bad. All good. Bit battered from the training paddock today, but all good.
I did notice that you're obviously in the High Performance Centre there. What does Thursday, 8, 9, 10 days out from a big game against New Zealand on the other side of the world, actually look like?
Yeah, we had a tough training day today. We're beating each other up out on the field. So, a good bit of contact, a lot of fast running, that kind of thing. And then we're just about to head into the gym in a bit to go and lift heavy. So, yeah, it's a very heavy day. And then we travel tomorrow. So
right. Last day in Ireland. So today, I presume the last few days in that camp have just been full of optimism that can only come from a big win against a higher ranked team.
Yeah, definitely. Like we've taken a lot of positives from it. We're happy enough with what we put out there. But yeah, there's definitely still lots to improve on. And that's the exciting thing as well, to come away from a match like that and be able to make points of where we can go and fire more shots and go and put more scores away.
There's not a whole pile more I'd say you could do after last weekend. I'm sure you'll probably say the opposite, but 20 ball carries is pretty extraordinary. Obviously a greater importance picking up the ball at the back of the scrum as well throughout the game. What are you looking at in the aftermath of last weekend with regards to your own improvement?
Oh, there's loads more I can improve. I definitely still have a lot to work on in my own game, and I'm picking brains of all the girls who are better at things than I am. So whether that be Molly Scuff, and we look back at the likes of the second try with the stepping early, it's been something that I've been working on, or just little parts of my game that I can get 1% better at.
It seems that Scott Beamond has created set plays and certain passages of play that puts more importance on getting the ball into your hands. Is that true?
I wouldn't say so. Right. I think we're very honest with each other in terms of where super strengths lie, whether that be let's say a line out where one of the girls is a better jumper than the others, and Cotters has no problem just saying, here, look, so-and-so is better, so throw her there. But I think the game plan just suits our super strengths. And in fairness, we have players groups that that feed into cooperating with the coaches and finalizing the plan of how we're going to go and attack a team. So there's a lot of cooperation between those players and coaches to make the best game plan going into a game.
Because it has been picked up on that you were in the eighth position at scrum time as opposed to being a flanker. What's the thought process behind that?
I don't know. I suppose it's just getting a bit of quick ball off the back of a scrum, and Britt is a phenomenal rooker. She's probably quickest to the rooks with us. So if we're able to get her to smash someone off the back of one of my carries, and stop their fold, I guess that's going to benefit us as well to then go and play wide or get someone around the corner. So yeah, I guess it's just looking at everyone's super strengths in different ways.
Because it does seem that there has been a layering on of more information and more intricacy of this team since the Six Nations, working under Beamond, working with the same players. There's real momentum now when you watch every single game that this team plays.
Oh, definitely. And then you have the addition of Hugh Hogan and Alex Codling, and they're coming in and they're adding even more layers to our game as well. So we're building on the likes of Dec Danaher's work, and it's a really exciting place that we're in at the minute, to keep building towards that World Cup in 2025. And I suppose that started with Australia. Now we continue to build towards WXV1 with the Black Ferns up next.
Obviously, a couple of tries, player of the match is good, but the tweet that said Josh van der Fleer wears a red scrum cap when he plays because he wants to be Aoife Wafer when he grows up is surely the cherry on the cake of last weekend.
Yeah, I had a good laugh when I saw that one. All right. that was a funny one, but I guess I wasn't expecting to see the likes of that, but he's a phenomenal player as well, and I would have watched a lot of his games and analysed a lot of the things that he's doing, because sure, he's a World Player of the Year after all, and there's so much to learn from. And then he's been kind enough to to give me some words of wisdom as well, whether that be after the Leinster Awards and shoot a few messages across or that kind of thing. But yeah, he's a gent, like, so he's definitely helped with my game as well.
What's he told you?
That's a secret now, isn't it? I know, he's given me tips and tricks with the kind of back row element of the game and that kind of thing. And sure, when they're in camp, like, they're in the HPC as well, so we're all under one roof, and they're not afraid to spill a few tips. So yeah, they're very helpful.
You've got 8 caps to your name at this stage. It's obviously a level of performance that you're getting to, which is way beyond 8 caps. There's obviously multiple reasons, mainly injury force, that you don't have a higher number right now. But do you feel that you are starting to step into that leadership role? And I mean that just in terms of your performances and in terms of being a leader out there in the pitch, that would be kind of more becoming of a player who's got a couple of dozen caps.
Yeah, it feels like I've been in the system for years. Like, I suppose I've been contracted since I was 17 or 18 years old with the sevens, and then came across the 15s and was just picked up a couple of injuries, which is unfortunate, but that's just how the game is. It was kind of mad. Like, I always say to girls that my second cap actually felt like my first cap, because it was nearly, like, it was over 560 days. I think it was about 65, 68 or something like that between my first and second cap. So, like, it was a bit mental. The only thing is I didn't have to sing the second cap, so it wasn't too bad that way. But I think I'm just really enjoying my rugby right now. And if that means that I have to step up and carry and try get gain line, I have no problem in running into a brick wall. So yeah, I'll do whatever the girls ask me to do.
I think the world deserved your rendition of Party in the USA a second time, to be honest.
Did they, yeah? Private concert in Musgrave, like.
It's such an incredible story, though. Just, I guess, the bad luck of it all, that full debut and the injury that kept you out for such a long period of time. How did you manage to deal with that on a mental level, and also, I guess, trying to deal with this idea that you had just arrived on the scene and it to be ripped away from you so quickly?
Yeah, it was tough. Like, I suppose I got my first cap on that weekend, and then went back into training, and I tore it on the Thursday then after I'd got my first cap. So it's like going from the highest moments in my career at that stage to the lowest moments, because we were prepping to go and play England the next week and I was targeting to hopefully start that game. So it was a fall from a great height, to be fair. But I think leaning on the girls really helped me, because I genuinely wouldn't have been able to get through it without them. Like, I was quite broke at stages during that rehab, and mentally it just didn't go right for me. So to be able to lean back and have the girls behind me and have the support staff behind me is something that really helped me through that and pulled me through some dark holes.
As you say, it's between 500 and 600 days that you were out. What's the hardest part of that rehab? I presume at the start you kind of think to yourself, geez, well, this is a mission that I'm on, and there's a weird sense of energy about it, I presume, as the recovery goes on and the days drag on a little bit, that's when it gets quite difficult.
Yeah, like I knew it wasn't going to be good when it happened. Like, I was sprinting down the edge and it literally felt like someone had shot me, and it was just my hamstring had completely popped. So I suppose, like, the start of it and the realization of this isn't going to be a short term injury is fairly tough, especially when, like, I was only 18, 19, and like to come down from a height of your first cap is fairly hard. But I think the hardest part of injury for me was seeing the girls on the pitch and seeing them training and playing matches and knowing that there could have been a potential that I could have been involved, or even with club, with I could have played club. Like, that kind of element really kind of tore me. And I suppose being based in sport so long in my life, like, I've been playing sports since I was able to walk, really, with my brother sticking me in goal from when I could stand. But it's really hard when that's suddenly taken away from you and it's no longer an outlet. So it's nearly like an identity piece that you're no longer a sports person. You're just rehabbing to try get back to it, but you don't even know whether you're going to play for Ireland again. Yeah, that was definitely the toughest realization for me, I think.
Does it then make you appreciate this all the more, that you are now that sports person again?
Yeah, 100%. Like, there's moments in games or post games or even in warm-ups, and it's like you just sit back and you look at it and you're like, wow, like, I'm so lucky to be able to do this as a job. And I guess like I was always very appreciative of my position, but I think when that's kind of taken away for so long and then you get back to it, like, it just makes it incredibly special, and to be able to do it with this bunch of girls is even better.
Your first game back was in the Celtic Challenge competition, if I'm not mistaken. You were playing for the Combined Provinces. You didn't just come back and play flanker in that game.
No, geez, I was playing centre for that one, wasn't I? Yeah, that was one of the coaches had an idea to put me at centre. So I was kind of like, oh, sure, look, I'll try it. Like, I'll do anything to get on the pitch, whether that's from back row to, God, I'd play scrum half or 10, but I don't think the girls were too happy because probably crash ball. But yeah, no, like I was doing anything to get on that pitch. So if that was to learn a new position, so be it.
Scored a 60-meter try that day, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I was absolutely dead after. I had to lay down for a second. I was like, oh, God. But yeah, no, the girls pulled me off the ground and we went again, so...
How big was this year's Six Nations then and all of that, and that piece around finding your identity again as a sports person? Like, you're two player of the round awards, I guess. You were nominated for player of the tournament. You were named in the team of the tournament. Your stats from the Six Nations this year were off the charts. It was definitely, I'm sure for people who've watched you all the way up, it was no surprise, but the national consciousness, this was the arrival of Aoife UEFA, really, this year's Six Nations. Did it feel significant for you?
Yeah, it was kind of like a shell shock moment, I think, to be honest. Like, all those kind of, like, you get tagged in something by Women's Six Nations on Instagram, and you're like, oh, what's this? And then next thing, it's a player to round or a try to round or like that kind of thing. So it's kind of mind blowing to me. But because like I literally just go out to play the game that I love with the team that I'm very fortunate to be a part of. So I think, like I said it to TG Carr on the weekend, like you definitely just play your best rugby when you're just having a bit of fun, and like I'm definitely doing that at the minute, and like hopefully that shows through my game.
We've obviously seen you in the blue of Leinster this year as well. There's one thing I wanted to ask you about that. Tanya Rosser says that she's nicknamed you the chiropractor. What's that about?
She said it's because I would quite literally run into a brick rot wall, so I think when you put a person in front of me, they kind of feel it a bit as well. So I think that was her thinking behind it anyway. She said I was quite similar to a player she had seen before. I think he was a center. I think he might have been a Samoan, I'm not 100% sure, but Lima, I think his name was, and his nickname was the chiropractor, so she said I reminded him of him.
That's incredible. How big was the season, I guess, with Leinster? Because again, kind of like Ireland, there does seem to be a rising tide here in the interprovincial series. Obviously, I mean, you're still so early into your career, and who knows where you're going to play your rugby. But it does feel that even in those interpro games, we are starting to see a nice bit of spice, a nice bit of rivalry, and just a rising standard.
Oh yeah, like I think no matter what province plays, like there's always going to be a bit of rivalry. In terms of like no one wants to see Leinster or Munster win, like, and everyone wants to kind of see the underdogs really show us up, like, and I think players are always competing for spots, which makes it really spicy in trainings as well. So it's not just that game that leads up to it that makes people better players. It's that training where you're pushed to just be a better player and a better person, because like it's the best person that gets picked for the jersey at the end of the day.
You're bang on about the chiropractor, by the way, Brian Lima. His Wikipedia page here, Aoife, I have to read this out to you. He earned the nickname of the chiropractor for his shuddering hits both on and off the pitch that supposedly rearranged the bones of the victim. Is that what we're talking here on the Leinster training ground?
Oh, Jez, you may ask Tanya, yeah.
You've mentioned it in passing there in this interview about being asked to stand in goals by your brothers and the importance of sport in your life. Can you just take us back to the start growing up in Wexford and the suite of options that were available to you as a young person when it came to sport?
Oh, like I was very lucky. So I have two older brothers and two younger siblings as well, a brother and a sister. So literally from the age that I could walk, my brothers would drag me out into the goals and they would take shots at me. And obviously, as a kid that has just learned to walk, you can't really move much, so it's more so just target practice for them. But yeah, it's a it's a funny one, like, because then, like, we're near the beach as well, so we were always swimming, always going out, jumping off the pier and that kind of thing. Like, I can remember my sister not being able to jump far enough away from the wall without whacking her head, like, so she'd have her life vest on and dad would fling her into the water and and someone would be in there to catch her, like, so yeah, like, we were raised just literally having a bit of cracker, because there's so many of us, we'd go out and play team sports, which usually ended in arguments or someone getting hurt. But yeah, like, we're a really competitive family, and like that kind of swam into the likes of RGAA, where my sister and I represented Wexford, and my older brother represented Wexford too in hurling and football. And my uncle is, like, he's played for Wexford, and like, we're very proud to be a GAA family. But also then once my older brothers got into rugby and I started getting in, like, it was no question which sport would kind of win. So yeah, I guess I stuck with rugby, and so did my siblings. So yeah, like, I'm very fortunate to have done, because yeah, I guess it all worked out in the end.
Absolutely. It was obviously Gorey club that you were playing with, and you played with the boys team up until under 12.
Yeah. So started when I was six, and it was kind of a stubborn me, which is what I am. But like, my mom would bring my two older brothers to training, and myself and my two younger siblings would be stuck in the kind of clubhouse, and like, it'd be freezing. Like, it's Sunday mornings, early mornings, and I think I kept pestering her to kind of go out and play, and she was kind of like, "Oh, there's no girls' teams, like, you can't play." And then eventually, I think one day I turned to her and I was like, "Mom, I'd be better out there running around with the lads than standing here getting a hold." And she was like, "Yeah, do you know what, Jack? You kind of have a point." So following week, she let me go, and yeah, never really looked back. So I was really lucky with the group that I got into. Like, I played with the likes of George Haddon, who was on our team, who's also represented at under 20s level. And there's a rake of lads that are really talented hurlers and footballers as well that play county. And a couple of them have gone up through Leinster ranks and that kind of thing as well. So we had a really good team. And then the coaches that I had have shaped my whole career, I think. Like, I think that, like, I'm where I am partly because of them, because how they kind of raised me through the game and taught me different lessons. Like, they never treated me any different, whether I, like, because I was a girl, they just threw me with the lads and that was it. I was there to play rugby. So yeah, I think that shaped my career too.
Were there many other young girls playing on that boys team up until under 12?
No. I was the only girl. So the only other girl that played for Gorey in the boys section, because there was no girls teams, no women's teams at the time, was Lauren Farrell McCabe, who's Kate Farrell's sister, on the sevens team. And she came up through the boys as well. So that's kind of how Mam got the idea to be like, okay, she can actually play with the boys, because Lauren had already done it. So then I came up through the age grades, and the next girl to play for the boys was my sister. So it was only the two of us playing with different boys teams. And eventually, thankfully, they got a girls team, and they eventually got a women's team, which is still going to today. And it's funny because my mom actually was on the first ever Gorey women's team, because I think she saw all of us playing rugby and she wanted to give it a go as well. So yeah, it was literally everyone in the house was playing it except my dad. So yeah. He was taking photos.
And yourself, your sister, and your mom, are you all back rows?
No, mom was a front row. Right. Yeah, she was a prop. And then my sister, yeah, she's a back row. Yeah. So I'm sure in years to come, there'll be a big competition there. But for the minute, I think she's just happy to enjoy rugby. But like, she's playing on the Ireland under 20s with the girls, and she's played the under 18s for sevens and 15s as well. So yeah, it'll be pretty cool if I get to play in blue or green one day with her.
Absolutely. She obviously has, as you mentioned there, is playing underage with Ireland. But there was a great story. I was leafing through the Gorey Guardian earlier on, and there was a piece in it about your family having made it to both of your games in one weekend, despite the fact that you were both playing in different countries. This is obviously, there's a huge amount of family support for you guys.
Oh, 100%. And like, my dad has five brothers and five sisters, and my mom has a rake of siblings as well. So like, they're all involved in just supporting the two of us and supporting my whole family. But yeah, when we got our first caps, I was obviously in Musgrave playing against Italy, and Orla, I think she was in the UK, and they had their under 18 Six Nations Festival. So mom flew over to the UK to watch her game, flew back to Musgrave to to watch my game. Well, she went to Dublin and drove across to Musgrave. And then she went back to the UK to watch Orla's second game. So she was, yeah, she was over and back like a yo-yo. But yeah, she wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I think she's dying trying to get to Canada now at the minute. But I don't think it'll be fortunate. She'll be fortunate enough. But I think that'll be the first game that she's missed in my career probably. So yeah,
right. It's obviously unquestionable what yourself and your sister are going to do for, I suppose, Gorey as a club and for the young girls that continue to want to play over the next little while. But I did want to ask you about your own inspirations. Like, I'd immediately jump to someone like Tadhg Furlong here. Is he a big inspiration to a young Aoife Wafer, to a young rugby player coming through in the county of Wexford?
Yeah, like he would have been. I suppose it kind of shows that it's possible to get out of Wexford and go play for Ireland. But for me, like, I would have had the inspirations of on the men's team and that kind of thing. Like, you always have your likes of your Johnny Sextons or Brian O'Driscoll's or that kind of thing. But I was really lucky to have my parents, because as soon as I started playing rugby, like, I think I probably made a comment of something like, I want to play on the Irish team, but there's no women's team. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh no, like, we need to educate this girl. So like, I was six and mom and dad were bringing me to all of the women's games that they could go to. So we'd always be in the Ashburn games with Ireland, or like, we'd be in Donnybrook with the Leinster women's team. And yeah, it's funny, all the photos that I have with past players, and now all of a sudden Maz Riley is one of our coaches, and I'm going through an album book of photos that I have with her, like, from when I was an absolute kid. But yeah, like, I think the likes of Fee Coughlin or Claire Malloy or anybody on that team, like, I could probably name out the whole 2013 Grand Slam winning team, like, because I loved rugby, and I literally, for my 10th birthday, Goose and my mom would have known each other, and mom got Goose to get the old Irish women's jersey. It still has the circular crest and everything. And he got it signed by the whole 2013 Grand Slam winning team. And that's hung above my bed since I was 10. So, like, I think it's always been a dream of mine to try and get to play with some of them, and some of them retired. But yeah, I'm still chatting to a few of them. All right.
Wow. It's pretty cool to think as well that if anybody is in your position last weekend asking their parents, how can I see the Irish women's team play rugby, they can just flick on TG Cahir and watch you guys hammer the Wallaroos. It's not a bad place to be.
Oh, it's amazing, because like, I always speak about, like, it's fantastic having the games on the telly and that kind of thing. And what's even better is, I think, like, the girls are so invested in trying to inspire the next generation and bring people along on our journey with us, because like, all of those supporters that were there at the weekend, like, they're part of our team too, and we need them to go and do the likes of what we did at the weekend. But it's also really important for us to go out to the communities and show that we care about those little kids who are playing rugby. And I think that's why there's a few of us that are involved in the likes of coaching, and we go out to all these younger teams and try to show them that we're not just a figure that you can see on telly. Like, we're a real person, and we care that you like rugby, or that you like sport, and we care that you're in sport and that you're enjoying it.
If you have thrown off and do a gym session here, by the way, don't let me keep you. There's a couple of other things.
You're all good.
There's a couple
you're
of other things I did want to ask you about. If anybody goes on to your Instagram, you've got a second account for your photography. This is another passion of yours. But what's really interesting is that it's photography based in rugby, and it just, I guess, speaks to the obsession you have with the sport. Do you snap in other walks of life as well, or is it only sport and only rugby?
Predominantly at the minute I'm just with sport. I kind of mix it up between GA and rugby, because, to be honest, like I've been taking photos since I was a kid. Like, dad would take photos of matches, and he'd give me a really old camera because I'd be pestering him asking questions, like. But I got really back into it when I did my hamstring, and for me it was a nice way to be involved in the team without actually playing, so I could still give back to the team and try put a few smiles on faces just by, like, taking the likes of a few photos or that kind of thing. Because at club games, there's not always a photographer, and the girls like to post the odd photo on Instagram or that kind of thing. So, but, like, for me, it was just enjoyable to, I suppose, be down on the sideline taking photos, and then afterwards give them a link to an album and that kind of thing. But yeah, like, predominantly it's teams that I'm involved in, whether that be with Blackrock or the Wolfhounds or that kind of thing. But yeah, I go out and take photos of any matches that I can get to.
So are we saying Aoife Wafer is available for hire for any local club when she's not representing Ireland?
Could you imagine?
Just put, couple of other bits and pieces. Just certainly, I've seen you talk about this recently, that there was an offer that came in for you from a Premiership club. I know that you're studying physiotherapy in UCD, and obviously you're one of the 37 Central IRFU contract recipients as well. So there's a decent life for you happening here, and there's plenty happening away from the rugby pitch as well. When you finish with physiotherapy, when you finish with UCD, is going abroad something that you would consider?
Potentially. Like, I suppose you never really know what the future holds, but I'd say, like, I still have a bit of time left in college and that kind of thing. And at the minute, like, I suppose, like, it's not going too bad here in Ireland if we're able to put out results like that at the weekend. But yeah, it's definitely an interest of mine, because, like, I suppose if someone hands you a card and says that you can play with the likes of the Red Roses or Black Ferns or the likes of the Wallaroos or all these top tier nations in Canada and all of that as well. And if you can play with them and train with them week in, week out, I suppose it's not something that you'd kind of write off, like, because at the end of the day, I just want to become a better player so that I can be better for my team.
Is there anything that we can be doing in Ireland to elevate the level of the players who are playing for the provinces here? Like, I did hear Tania Rosser mention the idea of there being some sort of joined up league, or at least competition between the Irish sides and the English sides, which would certainly expose everybody playing for the provinces here to a whole different standard.
Yeah, well, I suppose, like, international-wise, like, the likes of the WXB is going to be really helpful for us. Like, going and playing the top teams in the world is going to make us a better team. And then you have the likes of the Celtic Challenge and that kind of thing, which will hopefully grow over the next few years, where it might not just be two teams, it could be all four provinces. Like, I'm not sure. But yeah, I think Irish rugby and Irish women's rugby is in a really exciting place right now, in terms of all the growth. And even at underage levels, like, you go down to the matches and they're always very competitive. And like, the amount of youngsters that are coming through the systems and coming through the likes of an NTS is incredible. Like, they're developing the young ones at a ridiculous rate. And, like, eventually they're going to start coming into senior setups and they're going to be pushing all of us for spots, which is only going to make Ireland even better again.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. So talk us through WXV then. What is the expectation over those three fixtures that you have? Maybe if you focus on the New Zealand game in particular, what are you thinking before that fixture?
I suppose, like, the lads and our player groups will come up with a plan of what we want to kind of impose on New Zealand. Like, we've already identified a couple of spaces that we might be able to get bang for our buck. But yeah, like, I suppose it's sticking to our game plan, and results kind of follow where, like, your process and that kind of thing. So, like, when you stick to your performance, the results will just follow. But I guess, like, it's incredibly special to be able to play against the likes of New Zealand or Canada or USA, like, in... Like, the last time we played them was 2016, and Clee and Nicole were part of that New Zealand squad, and then Nicole was part of that Canada squad that played them in the Novembers then. But yeah, so, like, it's been a while since we've played the likes of those teams, so to be able to do it now instead of at a World Cup and have it a bit of a shock is pretty cool. So yeah, I think it'll be really good for our team.
Absolutely. Well, safe travels tomorrow, Aoife. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Congratulations on a brilliant 2024 so far, and we'll chat to you soon, no doubt.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Football on Off the Ball.
You're right to say that. I could even go so far as to say I'm an anorak, I'm a geek, I adore football. It's very rare that I can get enough of it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.